and he planted doubt and unbelief in their minds of God's people. This wasn't just the world, but this was God's people. And these bad seeds had the power to turn Israel away from the destiny that God had for them to possess the promised land. And now the next generation would have the opportunity either to receive or reject God's planning for their life. But isn't it amazing that he had that much power over them that he could, he changed Israel's mind from following the Lord. Amen. And he's a good liar. He's the best liar. He's a what would you call someone who's filled with delusion? Delusion, illusion. Amen. And that's what he does. He's the quick change artist. And he duped God's children into believing a lie. And bad seeds were affecting their mind. And Israel turned away from the plans and purposes that God had for them. Bad seeds. Amen. And this sermon today, I want to tell you, was inspired by the Holy Spirit through a few lines that Clayton Weller was speaking to me. And so I hope I didn't upset your apple cart or steal your next sermon, Clayton. But he was telling me this very thing. He said, hey, you know, bad seeds are being planted across North America, and it's affecting people's minds. And I sat down to seek God about what his message was. Boom. And it just mushroomed out. I like mushrooming out, Lord. Thank you for that. And thank you, Clayton, and for your help. And so many across our world and so many across North America, there's bad seeds being sown into them daily. And the devil had to persuade people. He's been persuading people right from the get-go, right from the start. And you know, we just have to look at Genesis and read a couple of verses, 2:16 and 17. And it says, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. How plain is that? How easy is that to understand? Okay, I got some good instructions for the from the Lord. And we know what happened in the next chapter, in chapter 3 and verse 4. Someone comes along sowing seeds. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. Excuse me. Knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, that a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. And she also gave to her husband. Amen. And he ate. And so here we see it started right back in Genesis, the planting of these bad seeds. And Satan's a master at telling a lie, weaving a lie into the truth. And that's what he did when he deceived Eve. Amen. Terrible. It's too bad that he has this power to lie and sow these bad seeds. But that's what the power the devil has isn't to cast a curse on anyone or anything like that, but the power to tell a lie. And we see how it's affecting the whole world, these lies. And what we see in it is we've seen it in the book of Numbers. We've seen it in the book of Genesis. And we see it on our internet. We see it in our TVs. We see it in our world. These bad seeds are being sown all over the place. In our Bible study on Wednesday morning, we were talking from the book of Acts, and we noticed that the prophets of the Old Testament were seen less and less in the New Testament, and that the apostles and the Acts of the Apostles were seen more and more, and Agabus is one of the last prophets to be spoke of in the New Testament. And so we were just making general comments that you know, the prophets were disappearing. And you know, the Lord promised in the last days that I'll pour my spirit out on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And so God gives all his children the ability to prophesy, and he can use it or use you or not use you. It's up to him. Amen. And so as we were saying, that seems like the prophets were disappearing at the end of the Bible. And Jane said, they may be disappearing from the end of the Bible faster, but they're all over YouTube. Wow. I thought that was hilarious. They didn't disappear. They're all over YouTube. Amen. And they get on YouTube and they give you their credentials. They're about that long. You know, there are this and that and the other thing. And so you might give them a little listen because, well, after all, they have so many credentials. And they say something that kind of makes sense. And so we open up a little bit and we let them sow seeds into us. Dangerous. You know, why should we? I have a Holy Spirit. I have the living Word of God. Amen. I don't need man to teach me. I need the Holy Spirit to teach me. I need revelation to come from the Word of God. Hallelujah. And I have a copy of it right here. Hallelujah. Thank God I do. It makes me wiser than all the great people who think they're great in their own eyes. And you know, I come from an organization that just is big on educations. Spiritual education, Bible education, take these courses and those courses. It's a lot of dead wood. I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade 1 ounce of the Holy Ghost for all the knowledge that men can give me. Amen. And that's what it is. It's knowledge that men can give you. And so we need the Holy Spirit. He's the professor that we need. And he's the central intelligent agent of heaven. He knows all things. He knows what's going to happen next week, next month, in 10 years. And he's with us. And so we turn on the internet. We hear conspiracy theories. We hear about people, you know, and there's nothing they can't do. And they're walking on water. And then suddenly truth becomes the voice of social media, and we open ourselves up to it. We don't want to allow anybody to sow into us. Let the Holy Ghost sow into you. Let the Word of God sow into you, because the future of tomorrow is going to depend on the seeds that are being planted today, and we want to stop watering the things in our lives that were never meant to grow. And so when I turn on my TV set, every commercial that comes along is trying to sow something into me. I want your money. Behind the scenes, buy my product. You know, maybe 15 years ago or something, my wife, you know, they were advertising these belts you put around your waist by Dr. Hulk, and they make you jiggle a little bit, and you can sit and read a book and let the belt make you jiggle away, and you supposedly you lose weight. Amen. And that was what they were promoting. And so someone gave her one, and she wanted to try it out to see if she could thin down her waistline a little. And so she was there jiggling and reading her book, and then she started going, ah! So, what? She ripped it off. She says, it's hurting me. And she looked in it, burnt a little hole in her belly, right there. But the advertisement was true. It'll melt your fat away. Well, we didn't think it was going to work. But if you started dropping pounds, you know I would have strapped it on, too. But I let her try it out first. There's many voices in the garden of God. There's many seeds being planted today. But we've got something solid to stand on. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's so much falsehood out there. But God has given us something wonderful. And you know, when God comes to us, and I heard, I think it was Howard when he was praying, talking about being an overcomer. This week I was thinking how the Lord manifests himself to us according to our attitudes, according to what we need. And as we gather together as a body, You know, Jesus comes to us and manifests himself and gives us what we need. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's a warning, sometimes encouragement. And I noticed in Revelation chapter 2, verse 12, how Jesus manifested himself to the church at Pergamos. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, "These things says he who has a sharp two-edged sword." And so we see Jesus manifest himself to this church as the one having a sharp two-edged sword. Amen. And it's the sword of God's word. And Jesus came to strike at the evil that was trying to rivet itself to his church. And he's not there to slay people. He wants to save us, but he wanted to slay the darkness that was trying to rivet itself to that church. And the double-edged sword, of course, is the living word of God. It's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart and even the joints and marrow. Hallelujah. And God's word can be used offensively and as an offense weapon against Satan, or we can use it in defense too. Amen.